It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern.
Good morning and welcome to my kitchen. This is Jasper Marabli.
And Kimberly Stern.
And we are live from Jasper's Kitchen, and we're talking Super Bowl. Kimberly, I'm telling you, 4 million pounds of popcorn, 11 million pounds of potatoes. You ready for this one? Are you ready, Kim?
I am.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I mean, I don't believe this, but I mean, this is what they're telling me. We're talking chicken, Kimberly. We're talking 1.3 billion pieces of chicken wings. That's enough for 3 chicken wings per American.
That is, okay, Jasper, a lot of chickens gave up their lives for the Super Bowl.
Well, you sound like our producer right now. He just told me his chickens better start laying eggs, otherwise they're going to be wings. Hey, who's on the show today?
We've got such a tasty show today. We've got William Walker, who, of course, is the owner of Old Shawnee Pizza. He's going to be talking to us about upcoming National Pizza Day. We've got Bethany Harris, who owns the unusual food truck called Ash and Blue. It's a cheese food truck. We've got Anita Moore, Soiree New Orleans Bistro, just in time for Fat Tuesday. And we've got Zingerman's Bakehouse from Michigan.
Sounds delicious. Mark, take it away. Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Start the football festivities. It's the big game this weekend, and Hen House Market is your local market since 1923 for all of your football party needs. That's right. It's 93% lean ground beef, only $3.99 a pound. And how about a wing bar? That's right. Hen House has a wing bar with all of your favorite wings. They're just waiting for you to come pick up. It's Hen House Market, your market since 1923.
Mark Andrews?
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Jasper sometimes has to go out and do special assignments.
So yes, I've heard that.
You heard that. We're left without a host. And so...
Well, I don't think that's true, because I think you were one of the best.
Oh,
so Mark. That makes you the good host right now.
The good
Plus,
host.
Plus, you brought somebody exciting.
Very exciting. Of course, Kansas City loves her. It's James Beard award-winning former Kansas City food editor, critic, again, award-winning writer, Jill Silva.
That's right. Let me move the mic over here. Might be some noise.
Oh, my. That's quite an introduction.
It's like my bars.
Creaky.
Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Kimberly.
We are so lucky that you found a slot in your schedule to sit in for Jay this morning. And I've got to tell listeners, because I know tons of people follow you on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to launch JillSilvaFood.com sometime in the next couple of months. So people need to watch for that, too.
They do. There's nothing there yet, but... soon enough, there will be, and I hope you'll continue to follow me on my food adventures around Kansas City. I've got some things brewing, and hopefully next time I'm on the show, I can talk more about that.
Excellent. Well, you know that you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll make you.
You'll do the thumb screws, right?
So I told you, one of the guests we were interviewing this morning, and you got really excited. We've got William Walker, who is the owner of Old Shawnee Pizza, with us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you ladies doing?
Well, we're doing even better now that we've got some meatballs
there you
in
go.
Front of us.
Meatballs for breakfast. Yeah. My favorite.
Hey, nothing better than some meatballs. You got to have some meatballs for breakfast.
But actually, William brought these for Jasper to taste because, of course, Jasper always says, I just make meatballs for a living. And Jasper's meatballs are legendary. But we're sampling William's meatballs. And I don't know, we think there's a throwdown with Jasper
hey,
in the future.
I just saw it on the on Facebook. And so I thought, well, maybe I'd throw Jasper some Old Shawnee pizza meatballs and see what he thought, at least.
Just like the throat rolls.
Throat rolls.
That's
you got throat meatballs.
I have, yes, in my head. And I just want to put you guys in a pit of spaghetti and have you start
and we're
throwing.
Just, yeah, I was going to say, who can knock each other out with some meatballs, right?
It's getting more and more interesting. Well, William, you have two locations. Of course, we're looking at National Pizza Day next week.
Big day, yeah.
A huge day. And you're going to be celebrating your 50th year. 50th year.
Yeah.
It's
kind of a big thing. You know, obviously I wasn't around then, but my father, you know, started it back in 1969. And so we've been around the block a time or two. But, yeah, it's 50 years of making pizza.
How old were you when you started working? And I'm sure just like Jasper, they gave you a step stool.
Yeah,
and...
you know, you're just... I remember being in there as a kid, running around, getting in everybody's way, you know.
Oh, you weren't helpful?
Maybe some days, but for the most part, no. I was probably more of an annoyance than anything. So you learn the way. I mean, that's where I was born and raised, was kind of in a kitchen, you know. And so you just kind of... pick up from there and learn your way around the kitchen and learn what people are doing and start doing your own thing, I guess, is kind of what I expanded on.
And you've done a good job.
That's incredible.
I try.
50
yes.
years, family business. I mean, who makes it that far? That's,
you know,
just amazing.
There is a few. And unfortunately, there's a lot of that start off and just don't make it. And I think, you know, just having roots in, you know, Kansas City, Shawnee, and putting out a quality product, you just got to be, you know, quality and consistency is definitely a key for, you know, staying in business.
And your dad was doing that when pizza was not an everyday occurrence.
No, you know, because I remember, you know, him telling stories of not having any other restaurants. We're about the only restaurant in kind of like Shawnee. You know, yeah, you go up and down Shawnee Mission Parkway and it's just, you know, restaurant after restaurant. And, I remember him saying, you know, there was one or two, but we were the first, like, pizza restaurant. And of him telling stories of, like, I just hope I can make, you know, a couple $100 today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now 50 years later, we're the oldest restaurant in Shawnee.
Wow.
So, you know,
it's kind of, you know. Congratulations, double.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So your dad started right before, I guess, Pizza Hut probably came in.
Yeah, because Pizza Hut was, what, early 70s?
Yeah.
He was in 69, and he just took an old, it was the McEnany house that there was
sure.
in Shawnee. And nowadays you can't do anything like take over a house and turn it into a restaurant, but he just took over an old house, started tearing out walls, gutting it, and turning it into, you know, made a living room into a dining room and the back room into a, you know, a kitchen, and added on to make space to what, you know, could be utilized as a restaurant.
We're talking with William Walker, who is the owner of the soon-to-be 50-year-old Old Shawnee Pizza.
Yes.
With two locations. So there's tons of competition out there, which you welcome.
Which is good.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
What sets you apart from the other pizza shops?
Ours, you know, our crust is definitely a unique one, because you don't see that a lot in most of these pizza restaurants in Kansas City. You've got a lot of, like, bready doughs and Sicilian styles and Neapolitan style, but ours is kind of a thin and cracker style crust, what I call like a traditional pizza, but that kind of like sets us a lot. You get more toppings than you do bread, and there's nothing wrong with bread because I love my carbs, but ours is just a little bit different. You do have a little crust that you can dip dip, you know, pizza into the dressing, but other than that, you get a lot more toppings and a crispy kind of a cracker style crust.
Mm. When I think of cracker style, I think of St. Louis pizza. Is that similar?
Yeah, it's similar, but not as quite thin.
Okay.
When we do our dough, we make ours, I'm not too sure actually on St. Louis style, but when we do our dough, what we use the day, we made the day before. So ours sets for 24 hours, and it kind of almost ferments in a way. When you
okay,
open it up,
sure.
It smells like you're opening up like a can of beer or something. It has that, you know, fermented beer smell. And so when we roll it through the machine, because we don't hand toss ours because it's kind of more of a dry, since it's a cracker style,
okay.
We'll roll it through the machine and thin it. And what you're doing when you roll it through that machine is you're building layers. Every time you flip it and roll it through and flip it and roll it through, you're building layers, and so when you put it on the pan and cut it out and it goes inside the oven, it starts leaving air pockets throughout the crust. And so when it's cooked, we use about 550 to 600 degree oven. And so it'll start kind of blistering, not blistering to where it's black, but it'll start, you know, building air bubbles inside there and adding that cracker. Like if you did like a saltine style cracker, it has those little air pockets in it. And that's kind of what, you know, ours is kind of like, yeah.
Do you eat with a knife and fork or do you eat with the hands? What's the...
Well, when we first started, ours it was like pizza eaten with ye fingers, you know. So it was not quite a fork and knife pizza. That's more kind of traditionally now with people, you know, being the manners part of it. You can eat it with, you know, hands. You know, you have your New York style that kind of has the flop. Ours necessarily has a flop to it, so you can't really fold it or anything, but you can pick it up and eat it and nothing will, you know, fall off your pizza crust.
Well, believe it or not, we're going to have to wrap up this interview, but I know you carry tons of other things besides pizzas. You do everything really well. Of course, these meatballs.
Everything is homemade, sauce, meatballs, you know, dressings, anything like that.
The
you
green
know,
dressing.
The green dressing. You can find that in your local grocery stores for Hen House.
And your marinara sauce?
Marinara sauce right along with it, right next to Jasper's.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Jay,
awesome.
Did you hear that? And, of course, you do a lot of catering. You do private parties. You do corporate catering.
Definitely, yeah. We bought our own van, so now we're out on the streets driving to car dealerships, and we've done wedding rehearsal dinners and office parties, whatever. But we can go anywhere throughout Kansas City to deliver you some good pizza, pastas, salad, sandwiches, the whole works.
Meatballs. So one of the very cool things you received, I think this past year, the Hot 100 Pizza Ranking, your number 60 of all the pizza,
of all the pizza places
in the U.S.
I'm thinking that not everybody has entered into this, but I'll take the credit for it anyway.
That's pretty good.
But,
really good.
You know, for Ken being just a small... I consider myself a small time, you know, a little pizza place here in Kansas City. And for coming in nationally, I guess, on a Hot 100 independent pizzeria, I'm definitely honored.
That's
you know,
very
it's
cool.
kind of an awe moment.
So any plans for expansion?
Yeah, I have been working with my buddy Bill Moss, the old Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure.
He does commercial real estate.
Yeah.
He's helped me out already once, but... we've got a couple irons in the fire right now.
In the pizza oven,
yes. Yeah. We've been looking, but maybe a few days, but we're looking.
Cool. And if you're working with Bill, you know something good's
yeah.
going to happen. Well, of course, you can go online, ShawneePizza.com. Online ordering is available at TheShawneePizza.com. William Walker, what a pleasure. Thank you,
Kimberly,
so much.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you very much.
Great to see
you. I'm
Jasper,
sorry I'm a long talker.
Jasper, we're so sorry you're missing these meatballs.
Hey.
Not.
Well,
he's got to come in and try them.
That's right.
Exactly.
Throw down.
We ate them.
Well, thanks so much. And we look forward hearing how Old Shawnee Pizza expands in the future. This is Kimberly Stern.
And Jill Silva.
And we're here on KCMO Talk 103.7 FM, AM 710, on live from Jasper's Kitchen.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Start the football festivities. It's the big game this weekend, and Hen House Market is your local market since 1923 for all of your football party needs. That's right, it's 93% lean ground beef, only $3.99 a pound. And how about a wing bar? That's right, Hen House has a wing bar with all of your favorite wings. They're just waiting for you to come pick up. Wow, I'm even thinking ribeye steaks. They're only $9 each right now at Hen House Market. It's Hen House Market, your market since 1923. Kimberly, I don't know about you, but I don't think it gets any better than this moment that we're having right now.
It's a good moment, a delicious moment.
Good.
We are eating a lovely cheese plate brought in by our guest, Bethany Harris, who owns Ash and Blue. It's a cheese food truck.
How cool.
The only cheese food truck in Kansas City.
Yes.
Right?
The only one I have found so far.
Rolling around the streets,
And what kind of truck is it?
It's a 1969 Shasta camper.
I'm so jealous.
And I met you last year at one of the Roastery's food truck brunches, and you had quite a line outside outside your truck.
Yeah.
People were digging it.
It's a little bit crazy sometimes.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit before we went on air, and you have quite a background in culinary. You started waiting tables when you were 14. You went to Johnson & Wales in Denver. You worked in Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins. You worked here for Whole Foods. And then you decided you needed something with maybe fewer hours because you're raising two small children.
Right. And I also, working for Whole Foods, I got a really good grasp on corporate practices and, you know, great things like cost control and inventory control. But I really wanted to work for a small business. And so I went to work for Ibis Bakery, and I got a wonderful experience there on how to run a small business.
And where did your inspiration come to do it? No, I've never seen anybody do a cheese truck.
So I've always been drawn to specialty foods. And I wanted, my original goal was I wanted to open a cheese shop. But brick and mortar spaces cost a lot of money, and they require a lot of yourself. And like you said, I have two small kids. And so one day I was driving to work, to Ibis, and I was just thinking, how can I do what I want to do, but on a really small scale and still be able to be my own boss? And I just thought, what about a traveling cheese shop? And I knew that sales-wise, I wouldn't be able to float it just selling cheese. And so that's when I came up with the idea of incorporating grilled cheese sandwiches onto the menu to give people a chance to try the cheese, give me a little bit more creative freedom. And then I can also incorporate more local businesses like Ibis.
Right. And who doesn't like grilled cheese?
Right.
Really?
It's a pretty approachable food.
So where did the name Ash and Blue come from?
Actually, it's Ash and Blue are two characteristics of cheese.
Right.
So that's basically it. I get a lot of customers come up and say, you know, is your name Ashley? Or, where, you know, which one's Ash and which one's Blue? But really, it's just, you know, there's Ash-ripened cheese, there's blue cheese, and I just thought, put them together.
And you think about it. I mean, this is so innovative. And, of course, look at the truck. People have to just go right there. I mean, you have other great food trucks in Kansas City.
Absolutely.
No doubt. But this, you've really found something that's different that, you know, you're not – I don't think you're really competing with the other guys.
No. So after my first season, which was this last summer, I kind of stepped back and reassessed the summer and what worked, what didn't work. Where was I most well-received, mm-hmm. I guess. And like the Roastery brunches were great exposure, but I kind of realized I'm not like a lot of the other food trucks because I am small. I source local artisan products, so my quantity is limited. I make everything to order, so I do take a little bit longer. I'm not like a taco truck that can, you know, assemble really quickly.
Right.
So people do have to wait a little bit. And so I did. I made that kind of realization at the end of the summer. I had modeled myself after other food trucks just because that's what I had seen. And I was trying to do the same events they were doing, and I was trying to do the same pace they were doing. And I realized I can't keep up. You know, that's not my business.
But if we went to a food truck rally, I mean, where everybody gets together or at an event, this is where my daughter and wife would be.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No. So let's talk about what you brought in today.
Sure. So, I try to focus on locally or regionally made cheeses. So I mostly stick to the Midwest, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, maybe Kansas.
It's got to be hard to narrow down. I mean, it really does.
It is. So when I first had the idea of a cheese shop, I thought, you know, I'm only going to do domestic cheeses. Mm-hmm. And even that in itself is overwhelming.
Overwhelming,
you know,
totally.
Because there's just so many wonderful domestic cheesemakers in America. So then I thought, well, why not narrow it down to the Midwest? And so today I have three cheeses. I have an aged blue cheese from Edgewood Creamery in Purdy, Missouri, which is down near Springfield.
Wow.
It's a family-run dairy. And this blue cheese is aged for 3 or 4 months. So it mellows the acidity, and it kind of gives it a little bit of a cheddar flavor, like a mix between cheddar and Parmesan with the blue mold in
it. One of the best I've had.
So it's fantastic. The medium cheddar that I brought is actually called Brothers Keeper Cheddar, and it's from Hemi Brothers Creamery in Sweet Springs, Missouri, which is right off Highway 50.
You got me on these. I haven't heard of these two.
I know.
And actually, Hemi Brothers, I had never heard of them either. And my dad, who's a farmer, was reading one of his agricultural magazines, and he came across an article, a small article about this dairy farm and creamery in Sweet Springs, which when I go home to visit my parents, I go right by, on Highway 50 right by Sweet Springs. And so he's like, oh, you should get a hold of them. And I did. And it turns out they are doing some fantastic things. I also use their cheese curds, their fresh cheese curds on my plain Jane grilled cheese, which is my bestseller. And then the third cheese I brought in is actually, like I said, not Midwestern at all. It's from Colorado, but that's where I moved to Kansas City from. And it's from Muco Creamery, and it's a black truffle camembert.
And where's Muco?
Muco is in Fort Collins.
In Fort Collins.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you made the crackers.
Yeah, so I just have some sage and black pepper flatbread crackers and some spiced almonds and walnuts and then some fresh fruit and some bronzed apples. Mm.
Okay, Kim, we talk just a second about this mac and cheese thing I'm hearing about.
What do you want to know about the mac and cheese?
There's a little talk about mac and cheese on social media.
Okay. So
it's not your average mac and cheese.
No. So I make all of my, obviously, like all of my sauces from scratch. And I use the local cheeses in the sauces. The base sauce that I use has a farmhouse fresh cheese from Edgewood Creamery, which is the same creamery the blue cheese comes from. And it's similar to just like an American cheese, but it's way softer. And so it just creates like this really velvety sauce. And then I do all kinds of combinations. I've done a roasted poblano, or when hatch green chilies are in season, I try to get those. Mm. And I do that with some bacon, or I've done loaded mac and cheese with like pulled pork on top and jalapenos and drizzle of barbecue sauce.
She was holding back on the mac and cheese, Kimberly.
She was.
And the fresh squeezed lemonade.
Your eyes lit up. So what kind of services do you provide?
So obviously you can find me at different farmers markets. This coming summer, I'll be at the Overland Park Market again. And then I also do private parties. So I do private anniversary parties or birthday parties, or I also do catering for parties. So if you don't want the truck to come out, I can deliver big cheese boards to your party.
Nice.
But who wouldn't want that cute truck at your
truck.
Party?
Right.
I mean.
And then I'm just now kind of branching off into weddings. And so I've booked a few weddings for the next year, this coming year. And some of those weddings want the truck out. You know, they want it there. And then some of the weddings are having, you know, I do mac and cheese bars and grilled cheese stations, build your own grilled cheese, and fondue bars and stuff like that. So everything that I do is based around cheese, obviously.
It is. It's very cheesy.
But it's, you know, kind of for brides and grooms who want something different,
it
something
is.
Memorable. Mm-hmm. And the quality of the ingredients I'm using is, you know, just
top notch.
And it's, people always say, oh, this, you know, sandwich is so great. And I'm like, well, I only put it together. You know, it's made. The bread makes it, and the cheese makes the sandwich. So
a traveling cheese truck. And let's talk about some of your farmers. I mean, we talked about the cheese, of course, but Ibis Bakery is one of the partners that you work with. Also, the dairy, Jason, of course, Wiebe with Hen House Market. We've worked with him for years.
Yeah.
And Norfolk, Iowa, Le Kirche. Now, come on.
Yeah, so I've only...
My favorite.
Yeah, I've only used their stuff a couple of times.
Herb is something else.
And I used their soppressata on a grilled cheese, and it was phenomenal.
Really, really innovative what Herb Eckhouse is doing up there. So, well, this is great. Thank you for coming in. More than anything, Kimberly, we had a nice little treat here. Lunch has been good so far.
That's right. And, of course, the best way to follow you, Bethany, is to go to the calendar page on your website. The website, of course, is Ash and Blue, spelled BLEU.com. And it's going to be fun to see how you grow, because you've got a great concept and a great product, and you're dedicated to it.
Well, thank you.
We wish you much success. And make sure you check out the website. It's Ash and Blue. That's ASHANDBLEU.com. I think you're really going to like it, because I know Kimberly and I have.
We're back on Live from Jasper's Kitchen. This is Jasper Morabile.
And Kimberly Stern.
And today we're talking Super Bowl. And Kimberly, you've had some great guests on so far.
We certainly have. Talking pizza, talking cheese. Mm. And now you know what we're going to talk about?
Probably my favorite city in the world.
New Orleans, baby.
Oh, I cannot wait. And, of course, we're going to go up to Ann Arbor, Michigan. We're going to talk to someone else up there where you're kind of spoiled, Miss Kimberly. You got to go there. I haven't been there.
I made cheese up there, but today we're going to talk to the people who run Zingerman's Bakehouse in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, we were talking earlier about all the statistics. I did not tell you, and I forgot this, that 12 million slices of pizza will be served today. Kimberly, that could make, I'm not kidding you, 910 leaning towers of pizza.
Where's the drum roll for that one?
Oh, yeah, come on. And 51 million cases of beer are going to be consumed today. And that's
a lot of brewski.
That's a lot of brewski. 150 million pounds of avocados, or just 275 million avocados. Boy, Hen House, they're ready for that, I'll tell you. Well, Kimberly, I'm telling you, it's a great show. Thanks for doing all you do to put this Super Bowl weekend together. Mark, take it away in the studio. Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Start the football festivities. It's the big game this weekend, and Hen House Market is your local market since 1923 for all of your football party needs. That's right. It's 93% lean ground beef, only $3.99 a pound. And how about a wing bar? That's right. Hen House has a wing bar with all of your favorite wings. They're just waiting for you to come pick up. Avocados are on sale right now, and of course, guacamole already prepared, $1 off per pound. Salsa, $2 off a pound, and pico de gallo, another $2 off a pound. It's Hen House Market for all of your big game needs. And if you're into shrimp, it's buy one, get one free. I could think of a lot of recipes I could prepare with that. And don't forget, Tippins dark sweet cherry pies, only $10.99. It's Hen House Market, your market since 1923.
I've got Jill Silva in the studio with me this morning. Jasper is on special assignment, Jill. Like a James Bond assignment. That's what Danny O'Neill always says when he's out.
A James Bond assignment? Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm kind of jealous. What are we doing here? Looking like helicopter pilots.
With our headphones and our mics on. We are so lucky. We've got some barbecue shrimp in here and bread and some sauce that if you don't dip that bread in that sauce, it's a crime.
Oh, truly. Absolutely.
And we have the chef with us, Ms. Anita Moore, who is the owner of Soiree New Orleans Bistro. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, it's always tough to pull chefs out of their restaurants, especially on Saturdays. They're always busy. Either they've got a full house or they've got catering to do. So thank you so much for joining us. So talk to us a little bit about your restaurant concept and where did you learn to cook?
Well, the concept is a New Orleans-style bistro. I wanted to take Kansas City directly into New Orleans. So
nonstop flight.
Nonstop, you know, quick access. As soon as you walk into New Orleans, you're stepping into Soiree.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also the concept, the name, which is a French term, means a small gathering at your home.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure this is my home. Welcome. We have an open kitchen. I'm always out talking to guests. So it's just like a big party every time you're there. The first place I learned to cook, I think my first prep kitchen was in my grandmother's house.
When you were itty-bitty, probably.
Itty-bitty. I mean, we used to stay up all Saturday, day, night, prepping for Sunday dinner. And we would do a spread, you know, from chicken, duck. I mean, it was endless.
Were you in charge of something in particular or just whatever menial job?
Yeah, I mean, everything. Anything that was on the menu that they had, I had my hands in it.
Yeah.
Biscuits definitely was one of the main things that we made a lot of growing up on Sunday morning because we would do, I mean, it was a nonstop food feast from waking up Sunday till we go to bed at night.
So, Anita, where do the New Orleans roots come from?
Well, the roots, I wasn't actually born in New Orleans, but I studied a lot of the food, visited several times that I could remember during Mardi Gras, you know. But I have a lot of influence from the South. I have family in Atlanta and Arkansas and just fell in love with the food and the way that it's cooked and the way that you make it. I mean, it's really an endearing process. It's an all-day thing to make a pot of beans. I mean, on Monday, the tradition in New Orleans is they cook beans because you're either washing dishes or washing laundry basically all day. So while you're doing the laundry, the beans are cooking. And we keep that tradition there. We close on Monday and we cook, you know, the majority of our stuff, the gumbo and the red beans, all cooks all day Monday.
Ooh, I bet that kitchen smells good. So why did you choose Smithville to open your first restaurant?
Well, Smithville, I didn't have much backing. So it was a lot of financed of my own. Mm-hmm. So I found the building, and when I walked inside of it, I mean, it was just amazing. Brick building, the floor was concrete. And even though it's in a rural area right now, they are building up. So in the future, hopefully on the other side of me, they got schools and a lot of development coming up. So I think I picked the right place. It's a destination location for sure. Smithville, they do feed the restaurant, but I'm seeing a lot of people come up from the city, Liberty, north of the river. So just this past week, I mean, we had hardly any of our regulars and a lot of new people for the first time.
Yeah, and I think Smithville is growing.
Oh,
we
yeah.
had Justice Drugstore for a long
yes.
time, but also Kozak's
yes.
Is doing well, I
mm-hmm.
think. And, you know, I think there's room for expansion and different kinds of cuisines up there. So
yeah, it's really great. I mean, we have about 4 restaurants up there. None of us are in competition with each other.
Yeah.
You could taste, I mean, you could have the Bar and Grill. We have an Italian. Then we have Justice, which is more upscale at night. Couple Mexican restaurants, but we're not in direct competition. And Smithville are loyal. You know, like they choose me one day and then they go to Kozak's the next. So I think it's a great little tight-knit community.
Do you want to open one closer into the urban core maybe?
I am actually looking into that. I'm working with someone now that's putting together a package and we're kind of seeing who's going to give me the best offer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Being the savvy businesswoman you are,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right. So let's talk menu. Let's talk menu. What is the most popular thing on the menu?
The most popular is probably one of our appetizers, the deep fried deviled egg.
Ooh. Okay.
I wanted to bring it in. I wanted to bring it in, but it wouldn't hold.
It wouldn't hold the trip, right?
But we just take it and we deep fry it, and then we fill it with a pimento cheese, smoked Gouda pimento cheese.
That's a wonderful Southern twist.
Yeah.
So
like
almost
that.
Like a scotch.
A little similar.
In a way, kind of an interesting spin. So people can't get enough of those?
Yeah, they're like, they never taste anything like it. It comes out kind of warm, and then we smoke our pork in-house, so I cut up some pork, and we put pork on top and pickled red onion. So
that's very creative. Do you also have jambalaya and etouffee and classics like that?
I started out with a really small menu because I wanted my staff to get things out correctly the first time, but now it's grown to a full menu. We have jambalaya, etouffee, barbecue shrimp. Our chicken wings are amazing. We smoke them, and then we deep fry them. And then we have a bourbon street wing sauce that we do, and then a Bayou hot pepper.
So this is party food, right?
You know, I really want, now that I got the menu, I'm starting to focus on the bar.
Yeah.
So I just hired a really good bartender, and we're going to start getting some drinks out. The Hurricane and
some traditional,
some
but then
traditional,
probably
but then some craft.
Signature,
yes,
right?
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a sweet tooth, a huge sweet tooth. So does Jasper. So I'm asking for a friend, okay? what kind of desserts are on the menu?
Okay, so right now, of course, beignets. Uh-huh. We cook those fresh to order every time you order, and it comes with a salted caramel dipping sauce. Mm-hmm. And then I started with my sweet potato cheesecake. You remember that? So we did it, and it kind of fell apart. It wouldn't come out the...
Out of the pan?
Out the pan.
Ooh.
So we stacked it in a, I guess, a moonshine glass. So now it's stacked and layered with a caramel.
Moonshine glass.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
I did.
How awesome is this? The details are here.
Yeah.
It's stacked and layered, and we have a bourbon whipped cream, praline on top. It's really good. And then our strawberry shortcake. This has been probably the most. We do it with beignets. So we do the beignets, the strawberry shortcake, again, the bourbon whipped cream. So our desserts are pretty good.
I would say so.
I
would say one of each.
I would, too. And I also see a theme developing here. Do you see a lot of bourbon, Kimberly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a favorite of yours?
It is.
Yeah?
It is. I can't keep it on my shelf.
There you go. So you also, just to kind of complete the full circle of New Orleans, you have live jazz and music.
Yeah,
all weekend long.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, we have live music. We've been doing a quartet on Friday, and then we have another guy that comes in Saturday So on Sundays, we normally have Max Grew come out, which he plays from 12 to 3 during our brunch time.
Sunday brunch at Soiree.
Yeah, shrimp and grits.
Mm. Oh, that sounds like fun.
And I always do a special. I think this last, I had crab cake. I don't know. Whatever I think of, I just do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a very, whatever's in front of you, what you've got,
right.
And then your mind starts. You
know, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jill, you want to take a trip to New Orleans?
I would love to take a trip to New Orleans. I love New Orleans. I think it's a really interesting food culture and just enjoy the party atmosphere. Yeah.
Well, quick little fact.
Yes?
169, I was told by actually Jonathan Justice's brother who came in and dined. He said, this highway, 169, actually goes straight down to New Orleans. So I told my staff, whoever is still there, that we're going to take a trip.
A road trip.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
You'll have to report back on that.
Yeah, I will.
Interesting. Well, Anita, best of luck to you. You've got a good
thing
going. If this shrimp is any indication of what else is on the menu, and we've got to try those deviled eggs.
Yeah.
For sure. That just sounds so good.
Live from Jasper's Kitchen is brought to you by Hen House Market. Start the football festivities. It's the big game this weekend, and Hen House Market is your local market since 1923 for all of your football party needs. That's right. It's 93% lean ground beef, only $3.99 a pound. And how about a wing bar? That's right. Hen House has a wing bar with all of your favorite wings. They're just waiting for you to come pick up. Avocados are on sale right now, and of course guacamole already prepared, $1 off per pound. Salsa, $2 off a pound, and pico de gallo, another $2 off a pound. It's Hen House Market for all of your big game needs. And if you're into shrimp, it's buy one get one free. I could think of a lot of recipes I could prepare with that. Wow, I'm even thinking ribeye steaks. They're only $9 each right now at Hen House Market. And don't forget, Tippins dark sweet cherry pies, only $10.99. It's Hen House Market, your market since 1923. Kimberly, we have many listeners across America.
Many, many.
And many people know about the famous Zingermans.
Absolutely.
In Ann Arbor, but not everybody has got to visit it like Miss Kimberly Stern.
I made, not in the bakehouse. We're going to be talking to the co-owner, head baker in the bakehouse, but I did get to make cheese in the cheese house.
Oh, a little mozzarella pulling?
Yeah, it could have used it as a tennis ball.
Get out of here.
Awful.
We are very fortunate today to have on the author and someone from, of course, the bakehouse, Zingermans. Kimberly, I'm going through this book. I'm sorry, I've already, what do you call this, dog-haired it?
Dog-eared it.
Dog-haired it, dog-eared it, whatever you want to call it.
Let me introduce our guest, please. Amy Emberling, who is the head baker, the co-owner, along with Frank Carrillo of Zingerman's Bakehouse in Ann Arbor. You just have a new cookbook out. That's what we're going to be talking about. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Sorry for the sideshow. I had to get my 2 cents in there. Amy, from the beginning of the book, I mean, you start right off with sourdough starter. This is perfect. I mean, beginner or not. And everything is so, it's easy even for me who, I try to bake, Kimberly. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm just a line cook.
You make cannolis and meatballs for a living. So tell us about the bakehouse. What kind of bakery are you? Kind of paint a picture for our listeners.
Sure. We're what we call an artisanal bakery. And so that means that we make traditional breads, pastries, and cakes. And traditional meaning generally food with history and using traditional processes and then real ingredients. And a lot of handwork, and there are real bakers in the bakery. We're mainly a wholesale bakery, so we sell to a lot of other specialty food stores and restaurants, but our main customers are all the other Zingerman's businesses, Zingerman's Delicatessen, Zingerman's Roadhouse, and Zingerman's mail order. We have our own shop, and we have a little baking school, and So there's a lot going on at the bakehouse.
And you've got, it's a little complex. I love it. You can like spend the whole day in the, I call it a complex, kind of walking around.
Sure. So the area that you're referring to where you made that wonderful mozzarella is what we call Zingerman's South Side. So it's where all the Zingerman's artisans, or, you know, another term is just the producers, reside. So there's Zingerman's Bakehouse, and then Zingerman's Creamery, Zingerman's Coffee Company, Zingerman's Candy Company. And we all do have our kitchens and bakeries there, and then we each have our own little retail shop. So it's not the most beautiful area because it's an industrial park, but it's kind of like the American version of maybe a little marketplace. So you mm-hmm. visit each one of the businesses and see, you can actually see people making things, and then you can buy what we make.
Yeah. Well, the recipes are so approachable. I mean, seriously, even and so accessible to, I mean, every level of baker. And I guess that's, is that why you wrote the book? I mean, what will we find in it?
We definitely wanted to write the book for people who either wanted to learn how to bake or who love to bake. So there is a full range of recipes in there, from very approachable and easy to maybe slightly medium. And then there are a few challenges or, you know, multi-day projects in there for the more advanced baker. We published our most popular items. And so some of them are really approachable and some of them are a little bit more challenging. We also wrote the book, though, for our wonderful customers, because there are a variety of sort of Zingerman's fans out there, and they want the recipes or they want to hear stories about how we do our work. And we thought it was about time after 25 years, that's how long the bakery has been open, that we finally published some of that.
So you have different levels for different levels of experience throughout the book. What recipes do you recommend a novice baker starts with?
Oh, I would start with, you know, ginger molasses cookies, which, you know, although they're simple to make, they're really fantastic to eat, or the Big O cookie, or our scones, which have been popular for years and years and years. Those are all very approachable. And then if for the yeasted things, if somebody wants to get into that, I would say the New York pizza. We teach classes on it to all kinds of people, and it's really accessible. Or what we call a straight dough, so not naturally leavened, like maybe the challah would be a good thing for someone to start with.
I absolutely love the sweet cream drop biscuits. They look so familiar, Miss Kimberly, to my biscuits. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, some great ideas. As you go through the book, even the Paisano bread is not difficult to make. I mean, of course, you know, it's just, I mean, we're talking basics, the yeast and the but the poulish and let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So there's a group of breads that professional bakers might say use a pre-ferment, and we use the word poulish. If you've looked at other books, it might be called a biga. And all it is that you take a little bit of the water, the flour, and some of the yeast from a recipe, and you make it you mix it together hours ahead and let it ferment. And then you mix it into the rest of the recipe. And what that gives you is better texture and more irregular holes and better flavor. And so, when you have a sourdough starter, you have to keep it alive all the time. But with this kind of recipe, you don't have to do that. You need to start it usually the day before you want the bread, but you don't have to keep anything in your fridge, and it gives you incredibly good bread even without that other starter.
And I have to tell you, I am just overwhelmed. My favorite pizza, and of course my family's from Sicily. I live in Kansas City, travel to Chicago, I travel, you know, Naples, etc. Detroit style pizza. I know it backwards and forward with the little pepperoni cups and full of the oil from the pepperoni. And you have it in the book here, the Detroit style pizza recipe.
Right. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because we chose a few recipes that are regional to Michigan, which I think probably a lot of Americans don't realize that there is some regional food, and the Detroit style pizza is one of those. So there's a pizza place here that opened after World War II called Buddy's Pizza, and it's really Sfingiuni, right? Is that the
exactly Sfingiuni? Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
That's why I'm making it tonight.
Well, good. And so then they made it, and it's just now being called Detroit-style pizza. And the thing that I find most fascinating, other than how tasty it is that they started making it in these blue steel pans that were old tools in the car factories. And the pans have a really great conductivity to it, so you get a really nice crust. But it was just sort of this wonderful connection between the car industry, and then there was a large local Sicilian population, and now, you know, just really good food.
Oh.
So Well, we're It's not hard.
It's not hard. There you go. We're talking with Amy Emberling of Zingerman's Bakehouse in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the head baker and co-owner. And question, because Zingerman's has become quite an institution, how do you think that happened?
You know, I love that question. It made me really think one time someone else asked me. And I think there are, there's a couple of key things. Making something that people really love and doing it, sticking to your knitting, not changing it. So doing it over and over so people know what to expect. And then, you know, Zingerman's, we chose to stay local. So you're not going to see other Zingerman's all over the country. And I think that the, since we chose the community and said we're staying and we're committed to giving back to this community, that it get, you get a lot of loyalty from the community. And so I think that's kind of maybe like the secret to some of the becoming an institution. Maybe the other thing is that we are known for giving really great service. So I think that we often connect with people in a really personal way that they don't expect. And we give and take care of people in a way that's really unusual. And so when you do that, then people, it's their home. It's their place too. And for that reason, I think it helps build it as an institution. That was never the goal, but we were just fortunate to maybe be there.
Well, there's no doubt Zingerman's is Ann Arbor, Michigan. I mean, and looking at this book itself, just going through the pages and, you know, from novice to professional, I mean, I'm looking at the recipes myself. I told you I'm not the greatest baker. And some of these look, I have to go home and try them now, Kimberly.
That's right.
I'm doing this Fincioni, which Detroit style pizza, when I get back to the restaurant. I got to compare
the
recipes.
Let me know how it is.
Oh, I will. I'll put it on Facebook. I'll tag you. I promise.
Well, Amy, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to talking with you perhaps next year because something is always cooking at Zingerman's.
No, thank you.
Thank you for coming on today. Thank you for the inspiration. My friends, I hope you go out and get the cookbook. Go on Amazon right now or to our friends over at Rainy Day Books. It's Zingerman's Bakehouse. We sure appreciate you coming on. Enjoy today.